pull your Bible out or your electronic device to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13. My mentor was probably an eschatological expert. He knew everything that I think anyone could know on the subject. I wished I could say I was as diligent in knowing it as he was. But he did influence me to its importance in our day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13. That's right before 2 Thessalonians, if you're having a hard time finding it. Okay. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, the old King James says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. We will all sleep in Jesus, and so we need to rest in him today. Amen? Jesus died, but we're just going to sleep. He died taking all of our sin upon himself. The rapture is a very positive message of truth. A message, I believe, that is neglected quite a bit in these days in which we live. Now, I would like to start by asking you a very bold question. And you may or may not feel like that you could raise your hand. Do you think Jesus will return today? Do I have any takers that thinks Jesus will return today? I wish you did, because he's going to come in such an hour as you think not. So there's no reason why he couldn't come today. It's an any moment teaching of the Word of God. Imminent. Now, Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant, he says. And like Professor Dr. Patterson says, he doesn't want us to be an ignoramus fundamentalist either. All right? So he gives us this truth very clearly. In fact, the coming of Jesus, at least his second coming, the second half of the coming, all right, was mentioned many, many times in the Old Testament. I just now read through the Old Testament since the 31st of December, and it's mentioned over 1,000 times, the second coming. Now, Jesus' second coming in the New Testament, it doesn't matter what book you go to, you're going to find it, because it's mentioned over 300 times. I believe somebody said 380 times. That's a lot of times for it to be mentioned. He's coming back. That should make a difference for us, shouldn't it? It is going to make a difference for us. We're going to leave all the junk, and we're going to leave all of the stuff, and we're going to leave all the problems and all the headaches for the lost. Yeah, we're not taking none of it with us. We're leaving it all. It's like somebody said about somebody that has went on. You're not taking anything with you. You don't see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Just don't happen. no need for it to happen, right? Now, somebody told me that I should have 3 points and a poem. Therefore, I'm going to give you a 3-point outline and a poem. Verses 13 and 14 is our expression of the rapture. We don't style us the lost, the heathen, and the pagan. Point number 2, verses 15 through 17, our explanation of the rapture. These are point number 3, verse 17 and 18, our exhortation of the rapture. And here's my poem. Good, better, best, never let it rest. Tell your good is better and your better best. All right, that's my poem. All right. Now, I'll go to my outline. That was someone else's suggestion. My outline has 5 points. So we could be here for a while. Point number 1, verse 13. We have God's revelation. Also, I'll add verse 15a to that, okay? Notice what he says. He says, but I would not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Notice they didn't die. Jesus died. They just fallen asleep. All right? It's a difference. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Oh, Paul has authority here. It's based upon God's word. It's not based upon some man's thoughts or thinking. The philosophers didn't have a clue about death. The scientists tried to understand it. They haven't been able to understand it. It's not until we get to that gradual, progressive word of God that was given to us, special revelation, that we come to realize the truth about death. For the believer, and really for everyone, even those that are lost, those that aren't going to go to be with Jesus, all right? They have no hope, none whatsoever. Notice what he says. Those who have fallen asleep, lest you have sorrow as others who have no hope. Those who don't know Jesus, those who are not a believer in Jesus Christ, those who do not accept by faith the revelation of the Word of God, they have no hope. There's no hope for them. I remember a lady that my best friend, actually it was his mother, she came to me one time and she said, "What is hope?" I'd just been a Christian for a few years. I give her the best understanding that I knew of it. And she struggled with that for years and years about hope. The lost have no hope. There's no expectation of eternity for them. There's no expectation of living forever with Jesus for them. They don't have it. None whatsoever. But we have the revelation, which we, by faith, receive. Notice also, we have Jesus' return. He's coming again. Now, actually, his coming again is in 2 parts, all right? And by the way, don't get his coming again confused with Israel. God's dealing with Israel is totally separate than God's dealing with the church, his bride, all right? I believe Lewis Schaeffer mentions 24 distinctions between the church and Israel. So don't get them confused, because many theologians have in the past and even today, all right? The Daniel 70th week, you might be familiar with that from Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel's 70th week, that is God dealing with Israel. 69 of those weeks are past tense. The 70th week will continue with Israel, not with the church. The church will not be a part of what God's plan is for Israel. Israel is an earthly group of people. Believers, the bride is God's heavenly bride. Our home eventually is going to be in the New Jerusalem. It's not going to be on the earth. We're a heavenly people. Israel is an earthly people. There's a difference, major difference in the Word of God. Okay? So, he's going to come again. And it seems as though there had been a question or some doubts, some concerns by the Thessalonians. Remember in Acts chapter 17, when Paul went to Thessalonica, he wasn't there very long, but he obviously taught them enough about Jesus coming back again, or excuse me, at least about the second coming. They had enough of an understanding of that to where they had concerns, because from the time that Paul had been there till the time that he answers in these two epistles their questions, it seemed as though they were concerned about those believers who had died. Are they not going to have any part in the kingdom? Are they not going to have any part in what God's going to do in the future? Because they're asleep already. They didn't know they were asleep. They thought they had died. All right. Because they quit breathing. By the way, did you know that's how you can tell if someone has died or if they're asleep in Jesus? They quit breathing. Did you know everybody dies that way? You look perplexed. You look confused. It's a fact. Ask any medical doctor. People that have died are not breathing anymore. All right? So Jesus is coming back again. Notice what he says here in verses 14 and 15. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, you believe that? Amen? Anybody here believe the gospel? Jesus died and he rose again. All right, if we believe that, okay, we do that by faith, right? Even so, God will bring those who sleep in Jesus, those who have preceded us in dying or sleeping. Ever how you want to say it? It's the way the Bible says it. It's sleep. Okay? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, and we already established that we who are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord will by no means go before. In other words, somebody said, because they have 6 feet further to go. I don't know that that would be correct necessarily. Some of them, their ashes are up on the mountains somewhere. All right? But just the same, they will have to go before we do, because they have to be resurrected. They're going to be resurrected from the grave, or resurrected from wherever their ashes are scattered, or wherever they were out in the ocean when they fell overboard or whatever. The Lord's going to bring the composites of them that have been planted wherever they are, all right? And he's going to bring them up first. He says next, and so that's the resurrection. We have Christian resurrection for the dead or for those who sleep, all right? They're going to be raised up first. Then we which are alive and remain, that's called the rapture, or that's called the translation. We're going to be brought up. But they're not going to get there any faster than we are, and we're not going to get there any faster than they are. We're going to all meet in the clouds, in the air. In the clouds. And so will we ever, forever be with the Lord. I can understand why Paul said at the very end in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's a great comfort, isn't it, to know that? We don't have any fear of death. Nobody. No matter what they try to do, they cannot in any way intimidate us with death. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Wow, you can't beat that. After 70 years on this earth, I'm telling you, my mind is a little bit that direction more than it is this direction. All right? It's a lot vertical. Maybe it should be a little more horizontal, but it's not. You know? I've been in this mess for 70 years. I'm ready to go. Whenever the Lord says, come hither, I'm gone. I'll be with them. My body will be in the ground or somewhere, I don't know, pine box. I don't know what they're going to do with it. They'll do something with it. They'll figure it out, all right? But my soul's going to be with Jesus, my soul and my spirit, absent from the body, present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, it's so clear that I'll be with the Lord, you see? And so will you as a believer in Jesus Christ when you breathe that last breath. By the way, a lot of people, the only time they ever hear this passage is at a funeral. And I know I've preached it probably 50, 100 times at funerals. You do hear it at funerals. But we need to hear it. We need to be encouraged. We need to be alert to the fact and reassured to the fact that he's coming back, and he could come back at any moment. Before I finish, he could come back. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Paul believed it when he was teaching it. Paul believed it was possible that Jesus would come back before he passed on out of this life. And we need to believe it too, because it's a biblical truth. That is, we just get so earthly minded, we just get so involved in the things going on in the earth, that we don't think about the then and there. But the then and there is where we're going to spend eternity. Do you ever think about that? That's a good reason to lay up treasure above, because that's where we're going to be. We're going to be with Jesus. This is just a breath. This isn't even a dot on the timeline. Not even a fraction of a dot on the timeline. No. We're going to be with Jesus. And so we have the Christian, the dead resurrection. We also have the believer's rapture or translation. Now, if you're in the back, it might be a little cloudy all the way back there. But if you're up front, you might see what I'm going to share, a little illustration. All right? If you want to move forward so you can see, that's fine. If you don't, that's all right too. But this is the earth, okay? You can pretend with me just a little bit, like the kindergarten kids do. This is the earth. And I have here a little bottle of the lost, who live on the earth, by the way. They're still here. Did you know that? Did you know there's lost people out there? Go on the way to hell. Just going to go straight to hell if we don't get the message of the gospel to them. It's a fact. Oh, I also have some Christians, some believers. By the way, the lost, if you can't see, they're matchsticks. They're going to burn someday if they don't meet Jesus. All right? But I have these here paperclip Christians too. All right? Paperclips are useful. They're profitable. They're valuable. Not much to them, but they're pretty valuable little critters. Amen? Now, we're going to be raptured with the Lord. The Lord isn't coming all the way to the earth. That's going to happen at the end of Daniel's 70th week. A lot of people call that the second coming. It's the second aspect of the second coming. All right? But we, at the rapture, the Lord is going to come in the clouds, and we're going to go meet him just like you go meet a dignitary out at the airport. All right? We're going to go meet him in the clouds because he's going to come down, and he's going to take us up. Just like that. I used to like to illustrate it with like a giant vacuum. That really, somehow or another, that fits in my head. That the rapture is kind of like a giant vacuum. We're going to be gone. In a moment, 1 Corinthians says, chapter 15. By the way, thank you for referring to that in your scripture reading. Because that was a good commentary on the resurrection, what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 58 is an excellent commentary on what we're talking about right here. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know how fast you can twinkle your eye? All right, practice with me. See if you can blink your eye. Yeah, you did it. A twinkle is faster than that. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you're not going to have time to think about anything. You're there in the air, in the clouds, with the Lord forevermore. Everything else is finished, done, finishi, over. We're gone. Whether it's Jesus, we're going to be raised to be with the Lord forevermore, raptured out of here. Oh, and I like this next part. There's going to be a great reunion. We're going to be reunited with Jesus Christ and with our loved ones. My mama was, as you know, was 101, almost 102, last December, somewhere in there, when she went to sleep with Jesus. I'm going to see her again. I'm going to see her again. 20 years ago, my dad left. I'm going to see him again. But most important, I'm going to see my Lord and Savior, my King. He's not just a general. He's not just a commander. He's going to make a commandment. He's going to make a command, and it's going to be answered. Notice what the command is. Somehow I missed that. Let's get back there. Where is it? Okay, for the verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Now, I don't know that the lost are going to hear that shout. It's pretty hard to hear it when it's that quick, right? But we're going to hear it. The Lord Jesus is going to be shouting, and the dead in Christ are going to rise up. But it's more than that. He says, and with the voice of the archangel. That might be Michael. I don't know. Michael could be summoning all the angels to come and gather to be there. The voice of the archangel, that could be Michael. Okay, angels, just like you did when Jesus was born, come on. Come on, troops of angels. Come on in. We've got something exciting going to happen here. And then we see the trumpet of God. You can see throughout Israel's history how many times the trumpet was used to call the masses and the multitudes together. And so when the church, when the bride of Christ, the trumpet of God is going to blow. Now, I don't know if anyone else is going to hear it, but I know I'm going to hear it. The saved are going to hear it. The believers are going to hear it. I don't know if the lost are going to hear it or not. I don't know. This isn't talking to them. This is talking to us. All right? And he says that the shout of the Lord, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And then we're going to have that resurrection I was telling you about. So what does that mean for us today then? How is this practical? This eschatology and the things to come and this, the rapture and all these things, they're very practical. But how are they practical to us today? Well, right after we go to be with the Lord, there's going to be what's called the Bema Seat. It's a time of rewards. Some people call it the Judgment Seat. And that's appropriate to call it that. But it's my understanding of it is better. It's a time of rewards. Not for anything morally, not for anything ethically. All that was done at the cross. I'm not judged anymore. And you aren't either. We already was judged. Past, present, future judgment already took place at the cross. But what this here rewarding is going to be about, it's going to be about how we live in our life. Is it for the glory of God? Things are acceptable to God? Is it worthless stuff? Word, hay, and stubble, I believe is the way 1 Corinthians 3 puts it. Word, hay, and stubble. Or is it going to be gold, silver, and precious things? You see? And there's going to be some crowns that's going to be given out. Five that I can find real quickly. And I do have to hurry. Paul said he didn't want to be a castaway. And I don't either. He didn't want to be a good for nothing. He wants his life to count for something. I want my life to count for something. There's the incorruptible crown for those who have mastery over the old man. That's 1 Corinthians 9:25. There's the crown of rejoicing. That's the soul winner's crown. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. There's the crown of life. That's for those who are enduring trials in this life. James 1:12. There's a crown of righteousness for loving his appearing. Oh, that's what we're talking about today, isn't it? Talking about his appearing, his coming again. Amen. And then there's the crown of glory, being willing to feed the flock of God. My pastor used to always call that the pastor's crown. I believe that's more than just the pastor's crown. That's anyone that takes time to share the Word of God and teach the Word of God and the understanding of the truth of the Word of God. As a result, I believe that we see three things that the rapture is able to comfort and encourage us with. Number one, it talks about it in verse 18, wherefore, therefore, comfort one another with these words. What the words of Jesus could come at any moment. Secondly, there's the purifying hope that we would want to live a pure life. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, I really should take time to read that. Let me see if I can find it real quick. First John chapter 3, starting at verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." The church is blameless, without spot or wrinkle. Ephesians 5 tells us very clearly about that. And then we also see in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so here we have that joyful, that blessed hope. Three different ways that we can make application to see. That's not even counting the crowns, all right? These are just some of the encouragements, some of the blessings that we have. Are you going to sleep in Jesus? Are you going to be raptured? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus? You say, well, you're at a Bible college. Come on. I know I am. A lot of people come in and slip through the cracks in churches and in colleges. And everywhere. You know, when I went to college the first time, this is living proof of how it can happen. When I went to college the very first time 50 years ago out in Denver, they asked on the application, when were you baptized? Well, I think they asked when I was saved first. They asked when I was saved, and I said April 17th, 1967. Then they asked, the next question is, when will you receive believer's baptism? And I put, when I was 13. Anyone catch that one? Yeah, there's a discrepancy there. I wasn't baptized when I was 13. I went in the water dry, came out wet, still a sinner. Dry sinner, wet sinner, still lost. You see? I didn't get baptized there after I was already in college. And it came to my attention, you haven't been baptized since you were saved. So I had to go back and get baptized because I haven't been baptized. If that can happen on a college application, then surely someone could bend the facts about their salvation too. Do you know for sure that you're going to meet Jesus one of these days? Isn't it encouraging? Isn't it exciting to know that's really going to happen? Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, thank you for the blessing that it is just to study your word and to allow you to speak to our hearts. Thank you, Father, for each and every one that's here today. And I pray, Lord, somehow, in some way, that this message is a blessing and encouragement. I pray, Lord, that it would cause us to realize that our days on this earth is short. And therefore, we need to live for Jesus. For it's in your name we pray.